Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Jeff Brown. Jeff serves as Director of Social Media Communications at Baylor University. Jeff and his staff have built one of the nation's strongest university social media programs, with content on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and more. Additionally, Jeff developed the popular Baylor Proud blog, which creates regular content highlighting superlatives from across campus and throughout the Baylor family. Baylor's social media program has been recognized in numerous ways for its interaction with the Baylor family, content, and more. And Jeff is with us today on the program. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Now, Jeff, as a social media director, you're never really off the clock, but thank you for a little of that time here today on the program. How long are you able to, you've got your computer now, obviously we're working on this, but how often do you find yourself in a day having to kind of just take a peek at what's going on?
Yeah, it's hard to get away for very long. I do my best to put it away in the early evening when I go home to my family. So I try to clock out at 5 and not get back on until after I put the kids to bed. But that's about the longest stretch in a day that I'll usually go without checking something.
What is, when you tell people that you're in social media, are there common questions or common comments that you hear?
There's a couple of different responses that I get a lot. One is, oh, wow, that's cool. So what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, so you post like the athletic stuff? I have to say, no, that's somebody else. There are a lot of different people who handle different areas around the university. My job is to oversee the team that handles the primary university accounts. So if you go to the official Baylor Facebook page, Twitter account, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, et cetera, then that's part of my realm.
So it's a field that is really changing almost day by day at times. What's that been like? What year did you take over officially as social media director?
I moved into this role about 5 years ago, and you're right, it's changed a lot in that time. You know, another question that I get a lot actually is, oh, so what did you study in school? Well, I certainly didn't study social media because it didn't exist when I was in school. But I was a journalism major, and so if you learn to write, you learn to communicate, then you can do that across a lot of different platforms. And so I found my way into social media, and that training has served me well.
Visiting with Jeff Brown, Director of Social Media Communications at Baylor, and we gave a brief rundown of Baylor social media at the top of the show, but let's go a little more in-depth into that. Outlets like Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, using them strategically. I want to ask you first, even a little more specifically, you said people say, so what exactly do you do? How would you describe that? If someone came up to you at church, you were talking to someone in line, and they said, what do? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, so our job, it has a few different components. The most obvious one is coming up with and posting the content that you see on those various platforms for the official Baylor accounts. We also are monitoring and responding to comments and questions that we get on those accounts. We're also keeping an eye out just on what people are saying in general about Baylor on various social media platforms to have an idea of kind of gauge the temperature of the conversation of what people have to say about us, whether that's the university or athletics or student life or our alumni or whatever. And then, of course, just trying to stay on top of social media trends because, as you mentioned, it's changing constantly. As the platforms grow, as people age, you know, a new platform comes along and it's the hip thing that only the kids are on. But then those kids get a little bit older and it grows in popularity and now their parents are on and now it's not so cool. And so each platform continues to evolve year by year as to who's on it and how it's used and what the ethos of that platform is like.
Well, there are a lot of different platforms, as you say, and I think some people might be curious about how they differ. I mean, you know, obviously Instagram is photo-based, Facebook, a lot of, you know, Twitter is more snippets of information, but can you kind of, let's break those down a little bit from Baylor's standpoint, maybe even from a broader social media standpoint. What are some of the ways that the different platforms differ, and how does Baylor use them strategically?
Yeah, so one of the big things is thinking about who's on each platform and how do they use it. And so it's oversimplifying to say Facebook is where the old people are or Snapchat is just for teens, but there is some truth to some generalizations. So we look at it as Facebook, when we're talking about what are we going to post on Facebook as Baylor, we're thinking about a little bit older audience, kind of middle-aged alumni or parents of current students. And we think about it as a place where people go for features over timely breaking news. So that's the kind of content that we are primarily sharing there. Twitter has a similar demographic age-wise to Facebook, maybe slightly younger, but in terms of its use, it's much more immediate. It's the breaking news place. It's where you'll find us sharing news and events more than we do on Facebook. Instagram obviously is photo heavy, and so we're going to make sure we have our best photography on there, whether it's something we've taken or something other people have taken that we're sharing. But it tends to skew a little younger than those other platforms. It still covers a wide base, but it's a little bit younger. It tends to be our best place for reaching current students and prospective students. And so you'll find us showcasing a lot of life on campus and campus events there, in part because of the audience and in part because of what lends itself to photography. You have LinkedIn, which is similar to Facebook in its demographic. And then Pinterest, which is a whole other ballgame. It's almost becoming less social media and more idea shopping. You can think of it as window shopping for things you want, for things you want to do, for ideas. And so we use it as a place to show off that kind of thing. We show off ideas for tailgating or for graduation photos or Baylor gear that you can get and wear around or paraphernalia, that sort of thing.
So you might have an idea for a post, whether it's during football season or whether there's, you know, a Baylor event going on in conjunction with Illuminate, but you've got a number of different ways to post it and some places that you're not going to post it at all. How demanding is the nature of trying to come up with content for each one in a way that fits each one? What's it like kind of riding that wave over the years and figuring out those sweet spots?
Yeah, it takes a lot more thought than people might think. We actually have a team of three of us. I head up a team of three that oversee Baylor's social media platforms. And so I tend to be kind of the primary person behind the Facebook page. Somebody else is the primary face behind the Twitter account. Somebody else is the primary face behind Instagram. And so we really get to know those platforms and know how to speak on those, how people will respond, what people will be interested in. And so we get together every morning and we'll talk through what are the things we need to cover. And one of the things we'll talk about is, you know, I don't know if this translates to Facebook, but it's definitely something for Twitter and Instagram. Or I think this is Facebook and Twitter, but it's not Instagram. Or it doesn't initially feel like it's for Instagram, but it's important enough that we need to get there. So is there a way to make it translate to Instagram? Can we find a great photo that will catch people's eye and then make them read the caption that will get across this message we need to get across?
We're visiting with Jeff Brown, Baylor's Director of Social Media Communications, here on Baylor Connections. You talked about trends earlier and staying on top of those. What are some of the trends that you might see? One, I think you've mentioned a little bit, is you talk about making something more Instagrammable. Are people using stories more than even the feeds?
Yeah, stories, especially on Instagram. Facebook's trying to make it a thing. We're going to see whether that catches mm-hmm. on. And I was just reading something yesterday about Twitter may try and come up with its own version of stories. People seem to like the stories format, I think because they feel less pressure. So people, when they're posting on Instagram, feel like it has to be the perfect photo, the perfect moment. Instagram stories, because it's more ephemeral, those posts generally disappear within 24 hours. They feel like they can kind of post whatever. They can post real life as opposed to Instagram life. And so that's making stories more and more popular. So we try to think, okay, so stories are becoming more popular. How can we use that? And how does that differentiate from our feed and from Twitter and from Facebook? And what commonalities does it have? What way does it make sense for us to use it?
This is Baylor Connections. We're talking to Jeff Brown. And, you know, when we talk about coming up with posts, there's maybe even a bigger responsibility than some people might initially think about, because you are the university to people, right? You know, when you post something on the Baylor Twitter or Facebook account, it's the university talking to everyone reading. So take us inside that responsibility a little bit. What kind of demands does that put on you? I mean, some things would be kind of obvious, but what's that like?
Yeah, it requires a lot of trust. A lot of trust from above, in that my bosses trust me not to speak out of turn on something. It requires trust with my staff, the other people on my team, that I trust them in the same way to take the platform and run with it and not, you know, speak out of turn. And trust in myself that I won't post the wrong thing, that I won't accidentally post something personal on a Baylor account. We've probably all seen those horror stories of brands posting something that the person behind it thought they were posting personal, whether it's their views about entertainment or the politics or that sort of thing. We certainly don't want to go there. I'm thankful I've only done that once. It was really early in my tenure, and it was a very safe story. I think it was about an article about Star Wars or something that I was sure. interested in. Accidentally posted from Baylor Proud, realized it very quickly, and it wasn't a big deal. But there's a lot of potential for something to go wrong. You know, we have the capacity. We've got over 200,000 followers on Facebook, over 100,000 on Instagram, 100,000 on LinkedIn, almost 95,000 on Twitter that we can speak to with very little immediate oversight. I'm also thankful, speaking of that trust, that we don't have to run every post by somebody above us for approval. We've been given carte blanche to, you know, speak on behalf of Baylor. And so that's a lot of pressure, but it's also freeing in that we're able to do our jobs on a day-to-day basis, to respond quickly, to act in the moment, and to speak out. But, you know, if you add up all those accounts, you're talking about 400,000 or 500,000 people potentially that we can speak to in a moment's notice. There's a lot of pressure not to do anything wrong.
Yeah. How do you develop that voice? You know, when you see something on Facebook or Instagram, it's got a distinct Baylor sound, maybe worded differently, but there's a distinct Baylor voice to it. How does that develop?
Yeah. So for us, the way we approached it was we kind of tried to come up with a personality that was behind each account. On Twitter, think about what Twitter is used for as well. We're usually sharing news and events. So for us, it made sense for that to be the voice of the university spokesperson. And that's the approach it takes. On Facebook, we may share a little lighter stuff in addition to those sorts of newsy things. So it's a little more the voice of a fan that is interested in Baylor and all things Baylor, whether that's student life or athletics or academics or research or whatever. On Instagram, the audience is a little bit younger, a little bit hipper perhaps. And so our voice can be that way too. That said, there is room for change over time. Some of that comes from the platform's evolution. As the platform changes, we realize our voice may need to change a little bit with that. And some of that comes from whoever we have in charge of running those accounts. There is some of that person's personality that's going to come through in that voice as well. That's really inevitable. You're speaking as an institution, but some of you is going to come through. So the voice you see on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any of our other platforms is a mix of this voice that we have planned and the voice of the person behind it.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Jeff Brown, Baylor's Director of Social Media Communications. And, you know, you talked about nearly 500,000 people interacting with Baylor's social media platforms. Let's talk about that word interacting, because you're obviously, you know, you want information out there, but you want people to engage. And Baylor has been recognized for strong engagement with the Baylor family, alumni, potential students, family, friends, what have you. What does it look like trying to build that engagement? What have you learned about building engagement where people maybe do more than just click like, but comment or share or really take it further?
Yeah, there are different things you do. You know, we know that certain topics will generate more engagement than others. You know, for better or worse, we're constantly balancing what is the university here for and what are people interested in? Obviously, the university is here first and foremost for educating, for academics, for research. Those aren't necessarily the most exciting topics for a layperson who may not know anything about that area of science or, you know, history or whatever that research topic is. On the flip side, we know that people love athletics. They love puppies. They love babies. And so if we were only looking for engagement, we could go with those three topics all day long mm-hmm. and run our engagement numbers through the roof. What we're trying to do is balance those two things. We're trying to balance what people are most interested in, but also what we think is important for them to know about Baylor or what's going on here, what our people are doing. You know, we kind of think about it in the same way that you have to balance your desserts with your fruits and vegetables. We try to balance sharing content that we know people will eat up with the content that's important for us to share. And we post pretty often on each platform, and so that allows us to really provide a good mix of types of content.
Do you have a strategy based on it? Is there a certain number of posts that's a sweet spot?
So we do have certain kind of general goals we shoot for each day on each platform. You know, we usually post 3 or 4 times a day on Facebook, 4 to 6 times a day on Twitter, and that includes retweets. Try to go once a day on Instagram, a handful of different Instagram stories each day, once a day on LinkedIn, a few pins each day on Pinterest. It keeps us busy.
Something else keeps busy, you know, you talk about that interaction side. You mentioned seeing what people are saying about the university, like what they comment on. And that interaction side, I think everyone knows it can, you know, it can be good, it can be bad, it can be exciting, it can be scary. How do you manage that? What does that look like?
Yeah, we comments and replies on social media can be the best or the worst. The very nature of social media allows for an instant response. So if you post something people really like, you'll know really quickly, and that can be really gratifying to watch your phone light up with notifications of retweet after retweet after retweet when you've posted something people enjoy. On the flip side, we've all seen the negativity that can run rampant on social media, and so unfortunately we have to deal with that too, whether it's people complaining on our Facebook page or yelling at us on Twitter. That can wear on us after a while, so there's a constant balance trying to do our job well and be in it 24/7, and at the same time find those breaks where we can get away and unplug a little bit to make sure we don't drive ourselves into the ground.
You talked about, Jeff, the content side of things. You mentioned, you know, 3 to 4 posts a day on Facebook, maybe more than that on Twitter. So obviously, you've got to have places that you go to find content to put there. And one of those has been Baylor Proud, the Baylor Proud blog. A little over 10 years now that it's been a part of things here at Baylor. And obviously, you were there developing that when it started. What role does that play in Baylor's overall social media strategy?
Yeah, as you mentioned how long we've been doing the blog, it actually predates all of our university social media accounts. Mm-hmm. It was our first way of really getting across that news in an informal and trying to be in a timely way between posting on the blog and sending out emails. And then social media came along and in some ways took over some of that purpose. We didn't need to send out an email after a football game to let people know that we won a big game because not only did they watch it on TV, but they've seen it all on social media already as the game unfolded. But it still gives us a place to tell good stories. It's been a reliable source of content for us. So trying to fill all those content slots that we want to hit every day, that's a lot. We spend a lot of our time looking for content. Baylor Proud gives us a reliable source of content essentially every day that we know at least we'll have this one story that will hit one of these important messages that we want to get across.
You talk about those important messages. Are there kind of buckets of content that you try to make sure you're regularly filling?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things. We're not split up where we have one account talking to alumni and another account talking to prospective students and another account talking to students and another account talking to parents. We're trying to hit all of those audiences with our information, and so we're trying to share things that are of interest to all of those people. It also means we're covering a lot of different topics. We're covering academics, we're covering research, we're covering student life, we're covering what our alumni are doing, we're covering honors that the university receives or our people, we're covering athletics, our alumni. I'm probably repeating myself at this point, but all the different areas of the university, pretty much anything that touches Baylor or touches the green and gold, we're going to be sharing about those different subjects and areas.
Was Baylor Proud content? I know from working with you, one thing I've learned about people and things at Baylor that I never would have known. Like one example I just remember was I read a book called Destiny of the Republic by Candace Millard about President James Garfield. Well, lo and behold, come to find out as we were working together that Candace Millard was a Baylor grad. To what extent has being involved with Baylor Proud maybe even educated you about the breadth of Baylor people or experiences? Because I know I'll read something working here at Baylor and go, wow, I had no idea that person was a Baylor grad or no idea Baylor was connected with that.
Yeah, we have to stay on our toes looking for those stories because that's our best story, right? Is the story that nobody else has told. And so looking for those people that we can introduce that people are like, wait, I didn't know there was a Baylor connection to that movie I just saw or that book I just read or that person I just saw play in a professional sports league. We're trying to show people that Baylor is everywhere and show the impact that the university and our alumni have on the world in a variety of areas. So we stay busy looking for those little stories, and we're digging in every nook and cranny that you can think of to try to find those, from interaction with people across campus to keeping an eye out, running searches on social media or in media reports or just all over the place looking for those stories that we can tell.
Jeff, if one of our listeners came up to you and said, I'm about to take over social media for my business, what advice do you have for me? What would you say?
Let's see. So number one, one of the most important things to do is remember the purpose of your account. why it exists, who you're talking to. You basically want to have a mission statement in mind as to why you're doing this, why you're on social media, and then stick to that. A second thing would be to, as we just talked about, to recognize that social media is a beast that requires constant feeding. Plan in advance where your content's going to come from and decide on a reasonable frequency for your posts, whether you're going to do once a day or once a week or whatever. Pick a number and stick to it. And then third, remember that it's not enough to just run an account. You also need to find your audience, especially if you're starting from scratch. It doesn't do a lot of good to be posting, even if you're posting great content on a really good frequency. If nobody's following you, then it's talking into nothingness. So you want to take advantage of other communication tools that your business or your organization has, emails, newsletters, flyers, business cards, et cetera, to spread the word about your accounts, to let people know, hey, come follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever you're going. And if you have multiple social media accounts, you want to make sure that you cross-promote from time to time, that you use Facebook to remind people you're on Twitter and use Twitter to remind people you're on Instagram and so on and so forth, so that you can continue to grow that audience so that the information you're working hard to share reaches the people you want to reach.
A little bit communicator, a little bit marketer, but it almost seems like there's a little bit of maybe jazz musician being able to having a plan but being able to improvise, or coach with a game plan, but a quarterback who can scramble if the play breaks down. There's a little bit of all of that to what you do.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, as we head into the final couple of minutes of the program, as you look back over the growth of Baylor's social media over the last several years to this point, you know, what are you most proud of?
I'm proud of the Baylor Proud blog. Not many people can say they've kept an essentially daily blog going for a dozen years. In fact, we're coming up on our 3,000th post, so I'm proud that we've been able to continue to tell that story, to find new subjects to share, and really keep that going. I'm proud of some of the national recognition we've received for Baylor, some studies that showed Baylor is among the top handful of colleges nationally when it comes to engagement. Engagement rate is basically how people are liking and sharing and commenting on your posts. So for our engagement rate to be high, it means we really must be doing something right, something our audience enjoys. But mostly I'm proud to get to share the story of all the great things going on inside the Baylor family. Whether we're feeling high or feeling low as Bears, it's important to remember how many amazing things are happening on this campus, how many students' lives are being changed forever as they find their future careers, make lifelong friends, grow in their relationship with Christ, and prepare to head out into the world. Sharing those kinds of stories every day has only grown my appreciation for what a special place Baylor really is.
Well, that's great, and a good way to close. Jeff Brown, Baylor's Director of Social Media Communications, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online at baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.